Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, we've got a great dose of hope today, and we've got some laughter for you. I am so excited to share with you that our guest today is comedian Bob Smiley. Now, I'm going to have to ask him, I'm just going to say right up front, how is his name Smiley? That seems divinely ordained, but he has been touring for over 25 years. I've actually been in the audience and heard him speak before and heard his act. He has written 4 books for Focus on the Family under the series he created called The Adventures of Average Boy, which is just hilarious. The award-winning Adventures of Average Boy humor column, some of you might have seen that monthly if you are subscribers to Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine, and the books, the column, as well as the NRB award-winning official Average Boy podcast are aimed at making kids and their parents laugh while encouraging them to be the best that God created them to be. Bob is also the feature comedian in 3 Dry Bar comedy specials, and he landed the role of Lowell the Snowman in the new claymation Christmas movie that just came out this weekend called Steal the Naughty List. Some of you may have seen it. And I am instructed to tell you that Bob is also very good at mowing, and he has a massive hotel shampoo collection. So with that, welcome, Bob. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me on. Not only is it an honor to be on your show, but it's also a good reminder that my neighbor is a huge fan of mine, because every time I do an interview, he starts mowing. So I know he's following my schedule. So
that's perfect.
My wife is so committed to my career that for the past 6 years, she has been buying lots of clothes. So I'm in the closet, which is better than any sound booth, thanks to her shopping. So she's really dedicated to my career and you know, setting me up for a win for an interview. So yeah, it's an honor to be here.
You know, Bob, you're already delivering. I mean, you don't even have to try. It's hilarious. But before we get, I have some really, really important questions to ask you, but probably the most important one. I need to know about this massive hotel shampoo collection, because here's the thing, Bob. I travel a lot, and now they don't give out those little bottles anymore. They have the big ones that are attached to the wall. So I need to know, like, are you taking those? How are you coping with this? What is going to be your adaptive behavior? What is exactly going on here?
Okay, I got to stop and just thank you for your professionalism, because I've been doing tons of interviews since the 4th Average Boy book and the movie premiere, and nobody's asked me these hard-hitting, important questions like this, and I really appreciate it. So, yeah, they're putting them in giant bottles that they bolt on the side of the wall. I don't take those off, because I do consider that stealing. But nowhere in our contract of where I pay for the room does it say you can't have an empty water bottle and sit there and hit the stopper over and over and filling it up. So I love that they did that, so we'd quit taking the shampoo bottles, and now I'm getting, you know, 16 ounces every single day. So it's kind of backfiring on them.
I know. I'm sure you probably didn't expect such hard-hitting journalism, but inquiring minds just wanted to know. You know, I feel like we needed to get that out of the way before we get to, you know, the other things that maybe are not so important. No, but really, like your testimony. And let me ask you, too. I do want to ask you, is your real name Smiley?
My real last name is Smiley. I did change my first name for the stage. This is an exclusive, but my real legal name is Robert, but I changed it to Bob because it sounds better on stage. But Smiley is definitely my last name. So it's basically comedy or dentistry, and there's too much science in becoming a dentist. So I bought a joke book, and it started my career. Yeah, I'm very lucky with that last name, because I've got comedy friends like Darren Streblo. Nobody knows how to spell Streblo, so they're not going to be able to look him up very easily. And so I do feel like when I first started, I got a little bit of a break with a great last name.
You really did, because I believe that there's no such thing as coincidence. God knows, and he has a sense of humor. I mean, we know this, and really, I do think that laughter is good medicine for us. And in a world that's so serious, Bob, I mean, I see kids who are just afraid, and parents who are afraid, and families who are afraid, and we're always talking about doom and gloom and doom scrolling and thinking about the world's going to end. I mean, even just looking at presidential election with apocalyptic language, you know, that's just infusing our society. I think that we really do underestimate the value of laughter and of comedy, don't you think?
100%. And every year I keep saying it's getting scarier and scarier, especially as a parent trying to raise kids and, mm-hmm. you know, and keep them on a godly path. The world just continues to try to compete for our kids' eyes and hearts and stuff. And so just as a parent, I love that all my friends are good Christian comedians. And I can get good, clean stuff into my kids' lives. But I'm seeing that in my own career. I'm seeing families come out and being able to sit for an hour plus and just laugh and not worry about, you know, something popping up in my show that's going to be offensive or make them uncomfortable sitting together. I think laughter is very powerful. I actually read an article one time that laughter is 10 times more powerful than morphine. I read that in a medical journal. So it wasn't even a Christian publication thing. And, mm-hmm. And I don't want your listeners to get me wrong. Like, there are times that you do need morphine. I'm not, you know, if I break my leg in half, I don't want my doctor standing over me going knock, knock, you know, and trying to tell me a joke. But laughter, it releases endorphins, and it mm-hmm. does have this healing power. And so it is an honor that God kind of tapped me to be a part of that world of spreading some laughter, which, you know, I kind of view as spreading, you know, joy and then sometimes healing. Cause I have a lot of people come to my shows that say, you know, I haven't laughed like that in, you know, a year mm-hmm. or, you know, 6 months. And just because people are really burdened and there's a lot going on in the world, just like you referenced some of it, and it can be scary. So it is nice to just take a little break and be reminded God's in control and that there's still joy to be found.
It also is bonding together. I mean, you bond together when you laugh over something, when you laugh till your sides hurt. I remember one of the last shows that I saw you in, Bob, you were with Tim Hawkins, which I'm a fan of Tim Hawkins. I'm not going to say he's my favorite comedian because that would be rude, right? But he is one of my favorite comedians along with you, of course. But I was sitting in your show, like laughing until my sides hurt, and my kids were making fun of me because they said I was wheezing like an old woman, which really wasn't very flattering, but it was a bonding experience. And so every time they come on, they're like, oh, here comes mom's old lady laugh, you know. But I think those kinds of things are important, and parents are so worried about having relationships with their kids, and laughter is a good way to do that. And Bob, I wanted to follow up on something that you were saying, that I'm sure that being a comedian is very tough, honestly, but being a Christian comedian, I think that's got to be even more difficult. You talked about the importance of feeling safe, you know, bringing your family to your show and being able to have good, clean humor. How do you balance comedy in a world of cancel culture and the easily offended? And how hard has it been for you to make your way as a Christian comic?
Well, I didn't do a great job last night in London, Kentucky, but normally normally I can dance around it, but you're right. It is very difficult because everybody has their own idea of what is clean comedy, and everybody has their own idea of what is Christian comedy. And so to find where those two circles overlap, you have to hit within that little part of the pie chart to keep everybody happy. And, you know, sometimes you don't, but when you do, it's very rewarding. When people can walk out and, you know, just say they enjoyed the entire set and they weren't offended by anything. But it's getting harder and harder, and especially with all the media and stuff kind of throwing out propaganda of, you know, there's so much hate in the world. I'm not seeing that, but I think people are a little more on edge and they're a little more looking to be offended at the beginning. And so I used to be able to go up on stage and I would have the crowd within the, you know, first 30 seconds to a minute. And if it's a area that I haven't toured with, you know, in before, or people don't know me, I'm finding it takes about almost 5 minutes to get them to relax because they're almost waiting to be offended because there's so much offensiveness in this world, and so many people taking, harsh sides on things. And so I think it is becoming more and more difficult, I think, every year. But, thankfully God keeps putting me in these positions where, I can succeed. And I go over my show and I really pray about it before I go on stage of what, bits to share, and kind of just count on the Holy Spirit to lead me when I'm up there to not say something that might offend somebody.
I do think that that's really hard, because we live in a world where, dare I say it, sometimes there's also virtue signaling that comes into play, like thinking, should I laugh at that? Is it okay to laugh at that? Is somebody going to judge me if I laugh at that, if that's funny? And looking at that sense of humor, it can be hard to know, where the line is. But I really appreciate that, you don't take yourself so seriously. And I think that's something that would be really good for a lot of families to not, when you can laugh at yourself, I mean, that is a really good measure of your self-esteem and your resilience. And that's what I care about. When kids are facing all kinds of tough things in the world, having resilience is really important. And when you can laugh at your mistake and you can, really like be self-deprecating or make fun of yourself, I think that signals to other people like, hey, it's okay to mess up. Because that's what I see for a lot of kids who are just terrified of saying the wrong thing, laughing at the wrong thing, liking the wrong thing on social media, and then feeling like, oh, they're canceled. It's just completely over. So how do you see that in resilience? Like you said, okay, maybe you didn't do a good job in Kentucky. I don't believe that. But how do you pick yourself back up? And, when like a joke doesn't land, how do you learn that personal characteristic of resilience?
Well, speaking of the show last night, people are even more bold about their opinions now. So,
No.
I don't do a lot of political stuff, but I was doing a couple of years ago. I was doing, I'd ask the crowd, has everybody seen somebody in their car wearing a mask by themselves? And people would always nod, because that happens everywhere. And so here's the joke. I said, I was in Washington, D.C. I was finishing a show. I pulled up to a red light, looked in the car next to me. The guy was by himself. He had two masks on. They weren't even on right. His ear was folded over. I'm looking at him like, how did he get elected president? And it normally just gets a huge booming laugh. And I did that bit one time a couple months ago. And not only was somebody offended, they stood up in the show and started, it was at a church, and started shouting out at me. And I was like, so that's something I'm seeing new in culture, is people are getting even more bold about when they're offended. And I think it comes from social media, because we can always voice our opinion. And with social media, we, are kind of protected. There's the old joke that, they're writing it from their mom's basement, and where they live. And, so they get more bold. But I'm seeing that in real life, too, is where people not only are offended, but feel like they have to protest and all that. So you kind of got to dance around. You got to really think through your show before you get up there, and know what area you're in, and, kind of read the crowd even better. I like to hang out in the lobby before the show just to meet people and stuff, just to kind of see where they're at and see, if it's a bunch of families. I'll do more kid stuff and, talk about being a parent and things like that. So you learn all these tools to kind of sidestep offending people. And have I just gone way off topic? You asked me a really good question.
In the best way possible. I'm laughing. I'm still here for it. And I think these are all relatable life lessons that we can learn. I mean, even just what you said, hanging out in the lobby, getting to know the people you serve. It's like you're going to be undercover boss, I think, Bob. I mean, that's what that is like. But that's a great thing for anybody, whether you're a pastor or a CEO or a nurse like me or anybody, just being with the people that you're serving and trying to respond to them well. I think that says a lot about who you are. Because when you're in your position where you're standing behind the microphone, and I can relate in a very small way, thinking about being behind the microphone, I don't think, okay, do I want to sound good? I think, am I going to serve people well? Are they going to walk away from what I said feeling encouraged, feeling uplifted? And that's exactly what you're describing. Well, when we come back, I want to know more about your faith journey, Bob, and your family, And we are going to talk about the adventures of Average Boy. I feel like I should have some sort of dramatic voice in saying that. But these are great books for your boys for Christmas. And I think girls would even like these too. We'll talk more about that with comedian Bob Smiley. Yes, you heard that right. A comedian named Bob Smiley. The jokes write themselves. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. I'm bad. Welcome back, friends. It is a good day. That is Good Day by Forrest Frank. And it doesn't matter that it's a Monday. It's a good Monday. We have been laughing a little bit. And I think laughter is good for the soul. It is good, good medicine. Although I remember a joke from late night television. I've got comedian Bob Smiley on here. Bob, I don't know if you remember this joke. It was something like they used to say that laughter was the best medicine. I guess that's why we all died of tuberculosis. Like, I just remember that joke. But we've got comedian Bob Smiley here, who has been touring for over 25 years. He's done so many things. We're going to be talking through some of his projects today. And I want to play a clip for you of one of his comedy bits. It's called Kitty Casino. Richard, let's roll it.
One time my parents took us into a bigger town to the Kitty Casino. The place where kids gamble. Chuck E. Cheese, yes. That is a casino for children. They don't even hide it anymore. You got to go through a turnstile. There's no clocks on the wall. There's a 6-foot mafia rat walking around handing out tokens. So my parents dropped me and my brother off. I did really well at the skee ball table that night. I left 200 tickets up. And well, now we know who gambles. And I'm not judging you because I gamble. I gamble today, actually. I had Chinese food. So... And the house is going to win. Anyway.
That's Bob Smiley. And I've had the privilege of seeing Bob on tour. And we were just talking in the first segment about how important it is to have some laughter in your life in a world that is very serious and very scary. It's important to have some laughter. So, Bob, I want to know what your kids think about you being a comedian. Do they laugh at your jokes?
I am very lucky that my kids do laugh at my jokes. They think I'm funny. And not only do they think I'm funny, they love for me to talk about them on stage, especially when my kids were younger. They would do something, you know, pretty crazy. And I remember one time Trent did something that I don't want to go into it because I don't know if my insurance is going to cancel it. But it involved a ceiling fan that's no longer with us, but he, as it broke, he turned and looked and he goes, "Do you think that's good enough to make into a bit?" And I just paused. I was like, I love that they're, they're thinking through like, oh, I hope I make it into dad's act. So I've been very fortunate. Because I'm home during the week, I get to go up to the school and volunteer. And I love that my kids have never really gone through that, being embarrassed of their dad. They loved for me to come up and like read one of my average boy books to the classroom, or, you know, just go and hang out at lunchtime and, you know, have all the friends come over and sit and us tell jokes. And so my kids, I'm very fortunate because a lot of my comedy friends, their kids are embarrassed by their dad or, you know, don't think he's funny or anything. But my kids just, maybe I haven't exposed them to good comedy. And so that's why they really like my stuff. But yeah, they think I'm funny.
I think that's quite an accomplishment. I mean, you have a lot of accomplishments, Bob, in the world of comedy, but that takes the cake. That is pretty awesome. I'm really privileged in that my kids, they're not embarrassed by me either. And that's embarrassing because, I mean, it can be embarrassing because I'm the mom that shows up and talks about all kinds of things. I'm the nurse, so I'm going to talk about all the sensitive subjects. But it's great because they're like, oh, no, you need to talk to my mom. And they've just stepped into my ministry. It sounds like just like your boys have stepped into yours. And so I'd love for you to share more about just your testimony, how you came to know the Lord and came to be called to ministry through laughter.
Well, ironically, that kind of segues into my dad. I grew up in a very tiny town north of Dallas, Texas. We had 281 people in our town. I had 17 in my graduating class, which was great because when I went to college, I could tell everybody that I ranked 16th. You know, they didn't need to know that there were only two other people below me, but, yeah, I had 17 in my graduating class. And so a very small little, farming town, and my dad was the superintendent, and my dad to this day is the funniest guy I have ever met. And he's very quick-witted. I think on the special, the clip that you just played was from my first dry bar special. And I talk a lot about my dad and, you know, a couple of the jokes, but they weren't jokes. He actually did this. Like I went to him one time because I didn't look like him, and I was like, "I don't look like you. Was I adopted?" And he said, "Yes, but they brought you back," and you know, stuff like that. Like he actually, and I used to tell this joke on stage, but it's not a joke. He convinced me if the ice cream van was playing music, that it meant it was out of ice cream. So it was stuff like that. And so I grew up watching my dad use comedy. He realized it was a gift from God as well. And so as a superintendent, I watched him diffuse like the room full of anger. If there was like angry parents coming into the office because they're upset about something, I watched him use comedy. Or if he was getting up and talking in front of the you know, school, he would open with a couple of jokes, and I just watched how he used comedy as a tool to be able to have people, because when you give somebody laughter, you're giving them a gift. And when you give somebody a gift, then they trust you more, and they'll lower their walls, and they'll kind of open their heart and their mind, and they'll listen to anything you say. And I learned that by just watching my dad. And my dad, since he was the superintendent of a small school, he would come and eat lunch with me. And it was the same thing. All my friends wanted to sit at our table to listen to me and my dad be funny. And we wouldn't prepare anything. We weren't writing, you know, a set list, but we just naturally were funny. And so I grew up very early on knowing that comedy was a powerful tool that God has given us. And even though I never thought I could be a comedian, I always planned to use comedy in whatever I did. I remember, I'll try to make the story short, but in second grade, there was a math problem, and it was 5 birthday candles plus 3 birthday candles. And there was a kid named Lloyd. I still remember his name. And he was up there, and he couldn't figure out the math problem. And the teacher, Miss Brown, said, "Can somebody come help him?" And I raised my hand. Always, my teachers like me to sit in the back for some reason. And so I raised my hand. She called on me. And as I was walking all the way up to the front of the classroom, I thought of my set list. I thought of my joke. And so I got up there and I said, 5 birthday candles plus 3 birthday candles equals 8 birthday candles. Come on, Lloyd. It's a piece of cake. And okay, Jessica, I really wish you would have been there because I got 0 laughs. Except Miss Brown looked down at me and she just goes, like that. It was the smallest little hee-hee of laughter. And the reason why this like memory sticks in my brain is because at the end of the day, when I was leaving the classroom, she stopped me and she said, Hey, I was having a really bad morning, and I thought of that birthday candle joke all day, and it just really cheered me up. So even in second grade, I remember walking out of that classroom thinking, wow, comedy is powerful. Like, it changed her day with, you know, what in my mind, my second grade mind, I thought was a phenomenal joke, but one little joke changed her day. And so I feel like God gave me just an amazing dad who is a master at comedy to kind of prepare me for, you know, what God had designed me to do, what, you know, my calling later turned out to be.
Well, and then you use some of your life experiences to write this. You just told me this is based on a bullying experience that you had in school, The Adventures of Average Boy. How did that experience have a full circle life moment where you're encouraging other kids who may have the same experience, but using comedy to do it?
Well, it's funny how the whole Average Boy thing came up was, and this is going to tell your listeners how old I am, but when my first CD came out, Focus on the Family got it, and they liked it. And so Jesse, who's now my editor and co-authored with the books with me, contacted me and asked me if I'd write a monthly article. And so my first article was about getting a really bad haircut going back to school, but I thought of a cell phone joke. And so, you know, I missed the whole cell phone era in middle school by, you know, well, let's just say like 4 years, even though that's way not true. It was way more than that. But rather than me write a true story about myself, I decided, because I wanted to put this cell phone joke in this article in Clubhouse magazine, I decided to make it just a generic middle school kid, and I just called him Average Boy. And that then allowed me to write this fictitious character, and I could write as much true stuff of my own. So to get back to your question, I realized, like, again, back to laughter being a gift, if I could make kids laugh at this column, then I could also encourage them through the written word. So I did start writing about, you know, Donnie is Average Boy's bully. And on the podcast and the books and the column, you know, Donnie shows up quite a bit. And Donnie was my real bully in school. And, you know, I keep wondering if he, you know, we'll ever find out. I don't think my Average Boy books are above his reading level, so I don't think he ever will. But I love that I'm still getting a dig in on him. That's how bitter I was. But you know, I realize, you know, bullying is a very hot topic, and that's something I dealt with as a kid. And the way I held, like, I got through it was I realized early on, because of good parents and grandparents and a good church, I realized that God loves me. He has a plan and a path for me. And so even when people pick on me or make fun of the way I look or any of that stuff, it doesn't matter, because God doesn't make mistakes. And so he has designed me for a purpose in life. And so when I got, you know, picked on or bullied and stuff, I really tried to have the mindset of, like, I can't let that pull me down. I got to keep looking for the opportunities that God has for me. And so that's what I try to instill with my Average Boy, you know, character throughout all the adventures and stuff, is that he's always trying to look at, more importantly, what God has for him and not, you know, what the world has for him.
Well, I was just sharing with you that I was reading The Adventures of Average Boy, and it was making me laugh, Bob. I know that is the point, but let me just read to our listeners a tiny little excerpt from here, because it's about this encounter with Donnie. And you go up to Donnie and you say, "Hey, Donnie, ready for summer break? Do you have big plans? I sure do." This was absolutely the wrong thing to say. I'd forgotten that Donnie had to take summer school. As soon as I remembered that, I tried to make things better by adding, "You know what they say about sixth grade, third time's the charm." Some people just don't appreciate encouraging comments. Donnie must be one of them. He just grunted and stared at me. You see, God gives us all gifts. Mine is making people laugh. Donnie's is the ability to impersonate Goliath and to grow a beard while staring at you. I mean, that's just one little clip, but it's so humorous. And I think that's such a great way. And sometimes, like, especially when we're dealing with bullying, which I do a lot in my role, you know, Bob, as a nurse practitioner and an educator, we're so serious about it. You know, this is what you need to say. This is what you need to report. Oh, they can't say that. We've got to have the teachers. Oh, do we have to have the police? And it's just so escalated and so intense. And there is a role for that. There's a time and place for that. But I think there's also a place for dealing with these kinds of things with humor and lightening it a little bit, because this is kids' everyday reality. And we may look at a situation and think, oh, that's not that big of a deal. You know, you'll get over it. I was bullied. You'll be bullied. Like, okay, he took your lunch money or whatever. But I think empowering them to use their gifts and seeing average boy, like it's not, you don't have to be a superhero. You can just be average. So what has been the response to these books?
Well, even last night in Kentucky, a family brought their sixth grade kid up, and I talked to him for a little bit, and he loves our Average Boy podcast. And then the dad was like, hey, why don't you go over and get our stuff, because they had some stuff on the couch. And the dad was like, he's being bullied, and it was really getting to him. And then he started reading the third Average Boy book is called Average Boys Above Average Year, and it's all about him going to a new school, and there's three new bullies there that he has to kind of, you know, maneuver around, and but he's going to interact with them, and they kind of start targeting Average Boy. And he said that that book really got him through the toughest part of the bullying and knowing how to confront the bullies and stuff. So it's super humbling that some funny story that God put in my mind is helping a kid in Kentucky who is going through, you know, being bullied, but to be reminded that, you know, that that kid has worth, and that that God, you know, like I said earlier, God has a plan for him. And so they're finding that encouragement in these books. And so it's exciting. It's humbling. And, you know, it makes me focus whenever I sit down to write another book. I take it, you know, very seriously of like, I want to put out the funniest book to attract as many kids as possible to read it. But then also I really need to think through, what do I want my message to be with this book that might help them? So it's a fun adventure for me to be on.
Well, when I was reading through it, it made me think of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, if anybody has ever read those. But it's like Diary of a Wimpy Kid with Jesus. Like, it's on steroids. It's so good because it offers hope and really just hope that's in the gospel. And so where can people find the Average Boy books or the podcast? What can they expect when they listen to that?
Well, you can find the books at Amazon.com. Actually, when the third book, so the first two books are comedy devotion books. So they're funny stories in each chapter, but then there's always a conflict, you know, that middle school kids are dealing with or elementary school. I wrote it for ages 7 to 14. And so there's some kind of conflict in each chapter. And then there's devotion questions at the end of each chapter, just to help kids kind of think through, you know, how Average Boy chose to deal with that conflict and how they might, you know, if they are in the same conflict, how they would handle it as well. And so the first two books were actually kind of devotion books, and then the third one was like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, only I think you would agree way better. So no, that's not true. I love Diary.
I do agree.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. But we're coming up against a break. Yes, hold on. We're coming up against a break. And when we come back, we'll hear more about the podcast and where we can get the rest of the books and more of your story and your testimony. We will be right back with more from comedian Bob Smiley. I hope he's making you smiley today. He's definitely making me smiley and cheering up my Monday. Laughter is good medicine. Come back after the break and we'll give you some more. Don't go away.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. That's Jesus Over Everything by The Belonging Company. And that's really what we're talking about today, is choosing Jesus over everything, even in a career of comedy. We're talking to Christian comedian Bob Smiley, who's been touring for more than 25 years. Some of you may have seen him on social media or in person on a tour. You may have read his books, The Adventures of Average Boy, or listened to that podcast. You may have seen him as Lowell the Snowman this weekend in a new claymation Christmas movie called Steal the Naughty List that came out. Or you may have seen him in a dry bar comedy special. But we are talking today about his life, about his testimony, about his choice to choose joy and laughter and humor and to share that. He said before the break that humor is very powerful. It's a powerful way to encourage people. And I don't think that people usually think powerful is the first adjective to describe humor, but it is very powerful. And Bob has been open about sharing his testimony, the good and the hard things that have happened in his life. So we're going to play a clip of one of his bits, and then we'll talk about this season in his life and using humor to cope. So Richard, let's play the clip.
But it is, and I don't even mind talking about her leaving, because it actually opened up the doors, because I, you know, it was a great testimony of how God can still use you, even in brokenness. This is a weird deal, but I got a call out of the blue about a month later after she left to go perform at a prison about 20 miles north of my house, and I would have never done that. But they were like, hey, we know you've been through some stuff. Will you come encourage them? And I'll be honest, I was nervous as I can be, because when you do a prison, it's scary. Like, you can only bring your ID and one key, and pick my sharpest key. And I took my 19-year-old because I thought he, you know, it'd be good for him to see. And plus, if, you know, there's a riot, I can outrun him. So I've got four more. So, but it was so nerve-wracking, guys. But it was so cool just to see that, like, God could use me. And, you know, and it was in a gym, and they brought the prisoners came in one at a time. And one of them, the first guy in, was named Angel. And he looked what you're probably picturing in your mind. He had, you know, face tattoos, neck tattoos, bulging bites. I was like, oh, I miss my grandmother. And and he did. He walked up, and he was like, thank you for coming. And I was like, dude, you don't even know if I'm funny. And he goes, I don't even care if you're funny. Nobody comes to see us. So the fact that you cared enough, man, thank you. And he kind of got emotional. It was sweet. He was like, in fact, I'd love to give you a hug if you'll put that key down. And so it's cool to look back on tragedy and see how, like, you can get through stuff. And that's why laughter is a big step on that. You know, I'd always heard laughter was the best medicine. But after going through something like that, I can honestly tell you, it's Vicodin. No, but that prison show was actually a turning point. It was kind of fun, too, because they were all prisoners. And I do this joke in my act where I talk about my voice being high and how I'm not scaring away any burglars. So I was actually saying this to them. I was like, pretend you're a burglar breaking in downstairs in my house. And one of them's like, don't have to pretend. And I kind of ruined it at the end because I really was trying to encourage them. But then, you know, toward the end of the show, I remembered that the guy that my ex-wife left me for actually lived up in that area. And so I was like, by the way, if any of you are getting out soon, love to share that address with you. And the best part was they all lined up to thank me and my son. And one guy leaned in and he goes, seriously, all I need is his name. And so I gave it to him.
Well, you know, Bob, that is a funny way to present something that's not so funny. And I know very well, seeing people in tough times in life, that a lot of times we do use humor to cope with things that are really difficult. And you were telling, and you have shared with your audience and with your readers about your divorce that happened that was really, really difficult in your life, having a charmed life and then experiencing something so hard. So what can you share with us about that today that might encourage our listeners?
Well, you actually said it perfectly. I really did lead a charmed life up to that point, had a great childhood and ended up in a career that I wasn't even pursuing. God just kept opening doors for me. And yeah, life was good. And I would travel around and tell people that, you know, God could get you through anything. But I'd honestly never really gone through anything tough. And then my ex-wife, we were married 17 years and we were hanging out with this other couple and going on vacations and stuff. And he's very wealthy, and she left and now married to him. And it all of a sudden, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought you said something else. I did not mean to laugh. You have me conditioned to laugh. Okay. All right. I thought you said something else. I misunderstood you. That's terrible, Bob. That's terrible.
Yeah, but I want to know, it was like, you can tell me off air later, but I want to know what you laughed at because I got to write it down.
Okay, all right, I'll let you know. Yeah, it really was. Okay, all right, go ahead.
This is gonna be the clip that I'm going to pull, like, because when you laughed, I was like, ooh, I'm killing even when I'm being serious. This is great.
Okay, all right, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm so sorry. I totally misunderstood you. I'll tell you later. Okay, go on with your tragic story. I sincerely apologize.
So yeah, so it rocked me, and I had three boys at the time, and I traveled all over, you know, telling people, oh, when times are tough, lean on God. And I'll be honest, like as soon as things got really bad, I didn't do that. Like it rocked my world, and I didn't think I would ever do comedy again. And Satan loves for people to think that they're too broken for God to use. And that is a lie from the enemy. And I am embarrassed to tell you, I bought into that. I really thought, oh, well, that's it. Life is over and everything. And so that prison clip that you just played, that was up in Huntsville State Prison. And the guy called me out of the blue and was like, hey, will you come and do comedy? And I really thought I was done doing comedy, that, you know, God couldn't use me. I was too broken and in a dark place. And I went there, and I really went there with the attitude of like, okay, I'm going to try my best to bring a little joy to them and encourage them. And I left that prison being, I think, more encouraged than anybody else. I really believe that God used that moment to bring me back. And I don't tell this on stage, but a guy came up after the show, a prisoner, and he was like, man, that was so great. I needed that laughter. And I was like, thanks. And he goes, yeah, I live by you. And I was like, wait a minute, what? And he goes, yeah, you started moving around. And I was like, oh, he runs on Maplewood. And here's the deal. I do run on Maplewood. So I was like, yeah, that's me that runs with a big can of mace. But he and I, we started talking, and same thing, like he made mistakes in life. And he said this, and it's probably a thing that they say a lot, but I'd never heard it. He said, you know, I thought my life ended in that courtroom. And I look back on that now, and I realize my life actually began in that courtroom when I got my sentencing, because, you know, he got his life in order. He found Jesus and started living, you know, a bold Christian life. And so that moment in that prison, God really showed me, like, hey, yeah, you've gone through some hard things, but I've got you, and I still have a plan for you. I still have a plan for your three boys. And from that moment on, I walked out of that prison like, okay, we're good. Like, we got this. God's going to take care of us. And yeah, so that you play that clip. I'm proud of the clip as a comedian, but I really love listening to that clip because it just reminds me of the moment where I was probably at my darkest time. And I literally got to see God like pull me up out of the valley. And so now I feel like when I share stuff on stage, I can speak with a little more authority because I'm not speaking from the mountaintop. I'm speaking to somebody who has gone through, you know, trials and tribulations, and I have seen God's faithfulness through it all. It's super encouraging to be able to do that now. You know, I don't wish that on anybody to have to go through what I went through, but it does get me fired up to get on stage and just share how good and kind God is.
I think that is really powerful to be able to say that, to have been, I mean, I can't imagine how hard that was for you, Bob, to go through something really hard and to be a comedian for a living. I mean, you've got to get up, you're trying to make other people laugh. You probably felt pressure to smile and make jokes when the last thing in your life you want to do is smile and make jokes because you're going through something hard. So to see the power of God's faithfulness through that, to bring you through that so that you are still able to smile, you're still able to laugh, you're still able to make jokes and make people laugh and share healing through laughter. I think that's really powerful. It makes me think about what you were talking about with somebody in your audience, which I'm sure has happened to you more than once, saying, you know, that, hey, I haven't laughed like this in a long time. You know, when you go through something really, really hard. And I know this is going to sound really silly, but I remember right after 9/11, when the world was just so serious, and my husband and I didn't have cable. And the TV was on, you know, we were watching the news because we had no idea what was going to happen. There were no smartphones. And it was just this steady drone of just news of people looking for their lost loved ones and just awfulness just coming out of there. And I remember sitting with him at dinner one night, and all of a sudden we heard a laugh track on the TV, and it was Everybody Loves Raymond that came on. And I remember how jarring that was, you know, just to have laughter. But as we kind of looked at each other like, should we laugh? Is it appropriate to laugh? Like, is it okay to laugh? And we just kind of looked and we started watching and laughing. It just really changed the atmosphere and changed the dynamic and shifted the mood. And so, like you said, I think humor is a very powerful tool to use in that. So how do you hope that God will use these dry bar comedy specials that you're working on now?
Well, I just filmed my third one, and it's coming out in January. And I talk a little bit about COVID and, you know, the quarantine and us being separated, because Satan loves to use isolation to get us away from each other, since God has built us for community. And so I'm hoping that this third one that comes out, it does that. It brings us closer together through community, watching the clips together, or just be reminded that we are built for community. And that's kind of my overall message throughout the special, is that we're built for community. We need to be in each other's lives. We need to be laughing with each other and praying with each other, and, you know, just kind of getting in the game and checking on one another as we try to, you know, continue through life. And so that's what my hope is for this one. The second one was kind of about the divorce and about how, you know, God could get you through the darkest parts of your life. And I had a lot of people reach out that were either going through divorce or, you know, had been through that and weren't dealing with it very well. And, you know, so I just hope it, all three of my dry bar specials, the Average Boy series, the podcast and stuff, I just hope it points people back to God. That's really my ultimate goal in all this that I do.
Well, if you're wondering about where to connect with Bob and where to find him, you can find him in The Adventures of Average Boy. This would be a great Christmas gift for kids who need to read books. Let me tell you, if you want to get their face out of a screen and reading a book, this is one that is funny. And I think it would be funny to read out loud. Reading out loud to your kids is really great. And just like what Bob was talking about, we can laugh at reels that we see on social media. We can laugh at video clips that happen. But wouldn't you agree with me that there's just something a little bit hollow about laughing on your own? What do you do with that reel when you see it and you think, this is so funny? Your first instinct is to share it with somebody. You want to send it to somebody because you want to share that laughter with somebody. And there's something very powerful about sitting next to someone and sharing that laughter and seeing them laugh till their sides ache. But what I would encourage you to do is, as the holidays are coming up, laugh a little bit with your family. Find something fun to do, honestly, even if it's silly. One of the things that my family did that still brings laughter to this day was silly little Minute to Win It games. If you're not familiar with these, you can find them on the internet. And most of them are done with pretty common, inexpensive household items like paper clips or cups or that kind of thing. And let me tell you, seeing mother-in-law stuff pantyhose with balloons and try to put them on her head like reindeer antlers, That was absolutely hilarious. So I hope that you have some fun and some laughter with your family over the holiday. I hope that you'll check out Bob Smiley, his Adventures of Average Boy, the Dry Bar Comedy Special, or the Claymation Christmas movie, Steal the Naughty List, that came out November 15th. Thanks for being patient with us during our little technical difficulties. These are the joys of live radio, but I appreciate you all being here live with us, and we'll see you here next time. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Got a really special treat for you with Kevin Chandler. Check it out. He'll be with me on video tomorrow on Facebook. I'll see you there.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.